Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
In this country, as many are getting ready to go back to school, what used to be normal in the fall is quite different. Many still doing the online thing, some doing a hybrid kind of version of it. Fingers crossed, those that are going back will be fine, and others will be able to eventually go back, because that's part of trying to get society back to a different stage. I don't think we'll ever be back to what we used to be, and I don't mean economically speaking. I'm just saying what was normal for us, what we just, you know, would walk through life and do, and we would hit certain milestones and dates and maybe not think about it. Now I think we're looking at things a little bit differently, and there are the pros and cons of that. And, of course, nobody wanted to see the coronavirus, but if you have to look at it a certain way and you have to reimagine what we're going to look like in the future, I think you try to take the positives out of it. Having said that, I'm going to give you the truth, the numbers of what it looks like as far as how many people have perished from it, how many people are surviving, and of course these numbers are, I call them the confirmed numbers, but loosely, because I think some deaths are not reported, or it's not known that there was a coronavirus that caused some of that. But anyway, the official number is just over 167,000 people have died in the United States, and the confirmed cases, 5.26 million. Confirmed cases worldwide, over 20 million. The recovery number is inching up close to 13 million. Yeah, 13 million. And some of the hot spots, it still include, you know, Florida, where it's 9,000 deaths and well over half a million confirmed cases. Texas, eking close to 10,000, actually, and well over half a million deaths. But in Texas, like in Florida, a big state, like in California, there are some areas that are, I'll say, doing better than other areas. So in Texas, for example, you look at Austin, Texas, and the University of Texas, one of the hardest hit areas, especially for, you know, kids coming back to school or being there, et cetera, and coming up testing positive. So in Austin, San Antonio, and Houston, really, really clobbered by it, while Dallas has cases, but not the amount of cases and the hot zones that we're seeing in some of those other places. A lot of that also has to do with summertime, watering holes, places where people are going, just like in Florida with the beaches for younger people, kind of the same thing there as well. I mean, one of the things that you look at when you see these maps, and there's all kinds of maps of different colors of here's where the hot area is today, and here's the amount of cases and the counties and what they're doing and what the ordinances say and all of that with these live daily updates, and you would drive yourself crazy trying to dig through all the data. You know, I'm all about numbers, but at some point you just have to kind of set the numbers aside and look at, all right, who's being infected? What are we seeing that seems to be doing well or working well in one community? Can that work in another community? Is it social distancing that's so much better in one area, or correct mask wearing? Because of all things, people grabbing masks and not really wearing them over their faces, but having them hang around their chins. And we saw what happened when people started to go to bars and how dangerous that was. And the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, took a lot of heat from many of his constituents because of opening too soon. And some of that had to do with, and he said he regretted opening bars. He was trying to help the economy and trying to help those the owners of establishments that served liquor, but not really thinking it all the way out. People drinking and getting a little intoxicated and not worrying about masks or social distancing and whatnot. So the protocols of how we live, wow, way, way different. All right, a couple of other odds and ends when it comes to the virus, because I always say this show is about the conversation. I don't care what you call yourself, the label, right of right, left of left, somewhere in between, no label, just trying to live a good life, an American, or whatever you go by, and or don't go by. But it's interesting to look at what other people are doing, other countries are doing, and then compare it to what we're doing in the United States. So Mexico City, for example, they've been cleaning movie theaters, and they're reopening movie theaters amid the pandemic because they think this will help with people who are getting restless, and it'll give them something to do, and they feel like they can really work on social distancing and policies. And in the United States, in a couple of weeks, some big movie chains are opening. And kind of the same thing, spraying areas, looking at surfaces, limiting the amount of people. One of the movie chains, in fact, is doing a special where for under $100, 10 to 20 people can be in a theater masked up, people that you know and nobody else. And that seemed to be a gimmick that's working well for them. And then they're working on other things to make the theaters open, wide. And they will have to mask up. And with the mask comes the disputes. American Airlines had a passenger that hit a gate agent in Phoenix after being denied access to the plane, not able to board for not wearing a mask. So a woman hit the gate agent after she was told she can't get on the plane. And she was a passenger on a flight from Los Angeles, which arrived in Phoenix before 8 a.m. She was scheduled to connect to Las Vegas. She wouldn't wear a mask. She said, I won't do it. And they said, well, you won't do it. You can't get on the plane. And I don't understand that people don't realize we live in the technology era where you've got video at your fingertips, and it doesn't matter if you're proficient at it or not. You press a button on a phone. So, of course, there was video of what happened posted on Twitter. Now, it doesn't show when the woman was initially denied boarding, but it picks up as she's delivering, like, obscenities like nobody's business and ranting near a gate. And the video ends with the police approaching her in the gate area. So, of course, they heard there was an assault. They have to respond. They respond. And then that's what happens. So this 47-year-old woman was arrested for assault. This is the requirement. The requirement of the airline is you got to wear the face mask while on board. And people who don't do it are booted from flights and might be booted from future flights. So they're placing her on the refuse list, pending what their investigation will show them by their security team. Wow. She must have been very tired coming off of that one flight, trying to get on the other flight to go to Las Vegas. I can't even think of any kind of an alibi. All right, kicking it to the other side. I'll meet you there.
Are you a business owner that needs a large supply of face masks?
Do you have a large family and need a large supply of face masks?
And want high quality but not high prices? Then you want sunny-bay.com.
Our face masks are a better quality than Costco and lower price than Amazon.
There's none better than sunny-bay.com.
See for yourself. Go to sunny-bay.com and place your order today.
Again, business owners, large families, and anyone who needs a large supply of quality quality disposable face masks. Click sunny-bay.com.
Be sure and look for our volume discounts.
Our high-quality cloth face masks are handmade in the USA.
We also have N95 masks.
See our quality, get details, and order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company.
Remember, volume discounts for large quantities at sunny-bay.com.
Just click sunny-bay.com.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Suns are the team to beat. They finished 8-0 in the bubble, but they fell short of the play-in game. How about that? Boy, it was fun to follow them, though. And like I said, they had that perfect 8-0 record. The Spurs' 22-year playoff and run ended. And the Blazers and the Grizzlies make the play-in game. It's very strange because you know, this is obviously a fanless sport at this point, but I think they're doing a great job in being in this bubble in Orlando. It is working. There are some players who have tested positive, mostly heading to the bubble, so they had to isolate weeks and weeks ago. So anyway, this is how things went on and down, I guess. The Portland Trailblazers are playing with a ton of confidence. And they could upset the number one seed in the first round of the playoffs. They earned their way into a play-in game with a 134, this is crazy, 134-133 win over Brooklyn. So they're the eighth seed. The Grizzlies are the ninth seed. They meet on Saturday in the first of maybe two play-in games. I just wanted to give you kind of a little slice of sports, if you will, because it's shortened. It has been much more exciting to watch the NBA, I think, because, you know, they're just, there's not a lot of time. I mean, this was it, and then you're going to the playoffs, and that's it. There wasn't There wasn't the kind of time you normally have. It really, truly was a sprint. So the NBA released their playoff schedule, and there were teams that you thought were going to be there that weren't. The top seed, the team I like, the Los Angeles Lakers, opened their Western Conference Series Tuesday, as do the Milwaukee Bucks in the East. The first playoff game is between Denver and Utah, and that's on Monday. And the Trailblazers and the Grizzlies that I just mentioned, they meet on Saturday. Like I said, that happens late in the afternoon. So I don't know. Fascinating to watch what's happening there. And as that's going on, I think the other discussion is over the NFL and college football. And what's going to happen in college football? Well, you have the big conferences, a couple of them saying, yeah, we're not playing. You know, there are schools that aren't saying anything. So after the Big Ten and the Pac-12 made that decision to shut down their fall sports in the midst of this global pandemic, you might have thought, well, we'll hear from other conferences, but we're not hearing from them at all. Nobody's saying anything. And especially the more independent types, I'll call them, like Notre Dame. And what about others? ACC, SEC, they're playing along. Some say it's Russian roulette, and it'll be something that follows them around. Others say, why not? If they want to give it a shot, why can't they give it a shot? And so I think you're going to see some college football happen in the first couple of weeks of the season, but then it may just collapse. There may be cases. There might be something that happens where they realize, you know, there's just no way we can go full steam ahead with this. And then also, by the way, you're missing some powerhouse teams. You know, teams that would normally be difficult, would be obstacles to try to get through, they're not there. And I think that makes a difference. And then there's the conversation about, well, if is there an asterisk near your name if that happens? I think we leave the asterisk alone. That whatever any team decides, they decide, and we don't need to go back and rewrite that history, because this thing has been tough enough on all of us than to start the discussion of, what do you think, should there be an asterisk next to a team when some of the top-tier teams are not there? All right, there's a new survey that showed that more than half of all Americans backed the potential ban on TikTok. They're saying, you know, 65% of active TikTok users oppose the president's executive order to shut down the app within 45 days, but 57% of all Americans agree with the press and his move to kick the music video app out of the U.S. This poll was taken by adults over 18. So there are teenagers that are great at TikTok, love it, use it to communicate, think it's funny, pass it around, basically what they're doing on TikTok. And you wonder what their parents will do and whether they say, you know, what they would say to the poll on shutting it down or not. So even if a deal with an American company does take place, most people in the country think TikTok would still pose a security threat because of its ties to China. So it's interesting that the Harris poll found that, all right, hey, we get an American company, they buy it, they change it, there's no link, but still the uncertainty. And it goes to that, once it's out there. And when that story came out, it made you think, well, yeah, why am I doing TikTok? it doesn't make any sense with what the Chinese are doing to collect the data, and we don't even know how wide reaching it is. Right? We have no clue. All right, money where your mouth is, in that category I would have to put the Houston mayor, Sylvester Turner, who on Thursday showed his support for the cleaning and sanitation workers trying to maintain public health with the pandemic, especially the way they're feeling it in Houston. He was out watching the cleanup of a homeless camp situated kind of in southeast Houston. And he's done that and popped up in a couple of places like that. Good for him to lend the moral support, I guess, and then to look at what's happening in some of those places and observe and see if it works or not. In Southern California, this is a follow-up, the fire there, the lake fire, continues to grow, sadly. 11,000 acres, 5% containment. You know, you dump buckets of water from the air, you're on the ground, you're assaulting this thing. Southern Californians live with this, know about this, and this seems to happen every year. But 5,000 structures in rural Los Angeles County are threatened with the fire, and it's burning between two areas about 65 miles just north of Los Angeles. 5% contained as of a few hours ago. So lower temperatures, moisture, that gave them a little bit of a break to try to hurry and fight it, but now it's back up again. And that's what's so tough, because it feeds on that. It feeds on that brush especially. And then it gets thick and dense, and the dried out vegetation and that steep terrain makes it very difficult for the people that are fighting it to really be able to get in close, douse it, etc. Getting as close as they can naturally, but it's pretty, pretty tough. I have to bring this up because I just had watched Jurassic Park with my nephew, and remember, it was the dinosaur DNA was from a mosquito, and of course, that was a fantasy flick, thanks to Michael Crichton and Steven Spielberg, brilliantly done in the 90s, and then the subsequent follow-ups to it. But I was looking at, this is the tie-in, just wait for it, I was looking at this flag that I saw, a proposed Mississippi flag, a mosquito flag. So, on this, you know, was it a joke or not? Because Mississippi is currently in the process of choosing a new flag. They took this historic vote to take down the old state flag, which featured the Confederate battle flag, and now they've had about 3,000 Mississippians, you might be listening to us, you're one of them, that have been submitting designs for a new state flag. Of course, some are more serious. The whole thing of the mosquito, I don't think the mosquito flag will make it all the way through. But the message was clever, so bravo on that. Can you imagine you're just kind of on a whim designing something? You send it in, and then your flag gets chosen. And that's the idea. They're really trying to make people embrace it. So have the contest, and if you find something good, have one that's good and you use it, then give the person cred, and it becomes a thing. And it is something to distract people in a positive way. Coming up, before we get out of this hour, a conversation with a guy who is Wayne Scott Harrell, who has written a book about moon. It's called Moonluck, and it's about astronauts, and it's about going to the moon and the development of that, and it's so interesting. It's very tough to put down. We'll talk to him as we check out of the hour. Stay with us.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The number of Americans applying for unemployment dropped below 1 million last week for the first time since the coronavirus outbreak took hold in the U.S. 5 months ago. The figures show that the crisis continues to throw people out of work, just as the expiration of an extra $600 a week from federal jobless benefits has deepened the hardship for many, as Democrats refuse to negotiate to bring those funds back. Applications for jobless benefits declined to 963,000, the second straight drop from the 1.2 million the previous week. A federal appeals court in New Orleans upheld the constitutionality of the all-male military draft system, citing a 1981 U.S. Supreme Court decision that overturned a 2019 ruling by a Texas-based federal judge. The U.S. government stopped drafting young men into the military in 1973, but every male must still register for the draft when he turns 18. This is USA Radio News. The Justice Department said that it has seized millions of dollars from cryptocurrency accounts that militant groups, including Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, relied on to finance their organizations and violent actions. Law enforcement officers said the group used the accounts to solicit donations, including trying to raise money from the sale of fraudulent personal protective equipment for the coronavirus pandemic. Officials described it as the largest ever seizure of virtual currency related to terrorism. It's part of a broader Justice Department goal of disrupting the financing of any extremist organization, including those designed as foreign terror groups. California will resume eviction and foreclosure proceedings on September 2nd, stoking fears of a wave of evictions during the coronavirus pandemic. Since the pandemic began in March, more than 9.7 million people have filed for unemployment benefits in California. A survey from the U.S. Census shows more than 1.7 million renters could not pay their rent on time over the last 3 months. This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Teenagers, when you're in the middle of a pandemic, the coronavirus has to be a major threat to homeless teens, to abused people, but abused teenagers who find themselves in a very dark, dark place. Andy Berger joins us. She's the founder of Beulah's Place. She knows what this is like, and thank goodness for Beulah's Place. We're going to get into that in a second. Andy, thanks for popping on the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
So let's talk about your story first and Beulah's Place. You're so passionate about this because you lived this. You're a survivor of childhood abuse, and you have written about your story and talked about it. But tell listeners who don't know what happened and what led you to where you are now.
Absolutely. Before there was a term, Kate, called human trafficking, I was sex trafficked by all immediate and extended family members from ages 6 months to 17 years old. And again, we're talking the 60s, early 70s, so people were barely talking about child abuse at the time, let alone anything, you know, more sinister. And so by the time I was five, the physical, mental, emotional, sexual torture, abuse, manipulation was so great. That was my first attempt at suicide as a young girl. I just wanted to be out. I just wanted it to be over.
Wow.
And, Yeah, in that moment, you know, in my life, God interceded in other people's lives. It could be something else. But in that moment, somehow, I felt I had some kind of purpose or some kind of something if I could just stay alive long enough. And the last time my birth mother tried to take my life, I was 17. So it was a really, really long road.
And you get out of that place, and how do you get out of that place? How do you, for the young lifetime of what you went through, how did you get out of that?
I pursued education. I went to college. I finished my four-year degree in 3 years. I was the classic overachiever, pleaser, just leave me alone, you know, let me do what I need to do. And then thought, well, you know, I'm going to go to law school and I'm going to save the world and all these other kids that were like me. And I got there and I realized, yeah, no, that's not happening, because I saw a lot of things that just weren't the kind of justice I thought I would find. So I finished because I thought if I take my law to business, I can be more successful and hopefully develop, you know, a way to help kids on my own terms.
Yeah, so then it leads us to Beulah's Place, and tell us about Beulah's Place, which is an incredible refuge for these abused and homeless teens.
Yes, my husband and I co-founded that in 2008. We've been 100% volunteer-driven, and we rescue at-risk homeless teen boys and girls who have been trafficked, who have been sexually preyed upon or criminally preyed upon in any way, or sadly, they've just simply been discarded or kicked out for whatever reason. So they run to the streets for safety. And as you know, you and your listeners know, the streets are not safe for young people that are barely, you know, adult age.
Yeah, so now we're in this pandemic, and what's happening? I would think the threat is even more major now because of the coronavirus.
Absolutely. These kids, a lot of our kids, they lived in trees and old cars and abandoned or condemned, you know, structures, things like that when we get them. And so now imagine they're not living in any kind of sanitary condition to begin with. And now we have, you know, this virus out there, which for them, any health condition is dangerous, but these kids have no choice. They don't have medical plans. They don't have a way to just walk into urgent care and say, hey, you know, help me. They have no residential history, nothing to show for themselves, because they've been on the streets. They may be carriers and not even know it. So they're either going to die or get worse, or hopefully, you know, if there's a miracle for them, you know, somebody intercedes like we tried to do, but we're still helping these youth regardless. And their main concerns are, can I eat today? Can I get clean today? Can I sleep today? Will somebody help me? Or am I going to die today?
Wow. So as somebody who is, I mean, such a big heart you have, obviously, and this is your passion to help other people in these terrible situations, it has to be rewarding, though, to see them come out on the other side, some of these boys and some of these girls. Is that what really keeps you going?
Absolutely. One less young person on the street means we have a chance for them to have a future, which means our communities across the nation and the world have a future when any of these kids survive and thrive. So we've had quite a number go to college. We have all of them graduating high school. We have them in jobs that they maintain. And so within 3 to 5 months in our Safe House program, they are ready to go back to community with very minimal reliance on assistance. And so that is a win for all of us. They're consumers, they're renters, they're starting their own families in a much better way. Do they still have to deal with all the trauma? Of course, just like I did. But they have a better chance when they're fed and they're watered and they have someone that believes in them.
Yeah. We're speaking to Andy Berger, and she's written a book, too, called A Fragile Thread of Hope. And in this book, you talk about four different teens, at-risk teens, you know, taking them from the streets and then what happened. Tell us about one of those stories.
Sure. One of the, not all the stories are about traffic victims, but yes, this is a perfect example. So one of the girls, her father was the sexual violator and violated her from ages like 5 to 10. The mother finally divorced him, became an alcoholic, a raging alcoholic, met a boyfriend and would leave her daughter from ages 12 to 16 home alone with just frozen food in the freezer 6 days a week. And the only time the mother would come home or leave the boyfriend is when this girl attempted suicide, where she had to show up. and then she'd be home for a few days, and then it went back. So this girl, of course, in that time period, what do you think a young girl will do eventually? She'll hook up with friends that maybe don't have her best interest at heart. She had a woman approach her, you know, bought her presents, took her to lunch, and a few months later, hey, by the way, I have some friends. They're at a hotel down the road. I want you to come meet them. And there you have it. And so these things happen because these kids are disenfranchised. And, you know, it just is unfortunate. But when we got her, she did so well. These kids are smart. The ones that we rescue are very smart. They just need it channeled. And she has an incredible career at age 24 and has just really kicked butt in the world. So we're very proud of her and all the kids who make it.
Boy, no kidding. I mean, and again, that's their stories and surviving and thriving. I mean, that absolutely keeps you going. And I think people don't, and maybe I'm wrong about this, they hear little bits about trafficking and they hear about teenagers and homelessness and all the dangers of that, but I don't think they realize it's in their backyard. This is rampant in so many cities, isn't it?
Absolutely. Every single state in our union has documented cases. The traffickers are not necessarily what you see in the movies. That's, you know, a little bit more saleable. A lot of times it's the average Joe or average Jane that is a teacher like my birth mother was, or a salesperson like my birth father was, or, you know, they're in the community, they have a little house, they have a little family, and all that's normal, but yet they have this underlying business. They are borrowing or stealing product from other families, which is basically their children.
Wow. Wow. What can people do that are listening to this that are just being pulled into this story and now more aware? What can we do?
Well, something positive that they can do definitely is if they see something, say something. Go to your local law enforcement agency, find out what the parameters are on reporting. You can be active that way. A more passive approach, you know, buy the book because 45% of the proceeds go back to victims of child sex trafficking and child abuse. That would be helpful. You know, support an organization like Beulah's Place. Go to beulahsplace.org. Every dollar goes to programs. We have no staff. We have no personnel after 11 years. But we have a 92% success rate of these kids staying independent and moving on. So, you know, we must be doing something right. But they can help in so many ways, or go to a local youth center, find out how you can help, or check with, you know, DHS or schools and say, is there, you know, anyone I can mentor? Things like that. Just get involved. Don't let the piercings or whatever it is, you know, throw you off, because these kids are looking for some kind of identity in our community.
Boy, I think what you said is so true about the mentoring, especially because who can they look to? Where can you go? What can you see that you know, is normal, that there's a path that you can grab onto? And the
exactly.
More mentors, the better, right?
Absolutely. Even a cup of coffee, you'd be amazed. When I first meet one of these young people, we sit down for coffee, tea, whatever, and of course they're a little reticent. You know, they don't trust right away. But, you know, I basically say, so what's going on in your life? You know, what's happening? You know, how can I help? What can I do? And make it about them and not, you know, any other agenda.
Yeah, wow. Andy, your story is so powerful. Thanks for everything that you're doing out there, fighting the good fight. Andy Berger, pick up the book and help some people. A Fragile Thread of Hope, One Survivor's Quest to Rescue. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, and so you know this. We talked about human trafficking before on this show. Many times we've talked about it, and her story is just so powerful. When you think of the abuses she mentioned that she went through and getting out of that situation, getting the law degree, then moving on to try to help others. And human trafficking is, I had no idea until somebody made me aware of just how rampant it was in every single city, and not what you think it is. The exploitations of, you know, exploited teenagers of what's happened to them, like I said, how they're being exploited is just absolutely sickening. So this is a serious problem. If there is a way that you can help and stop this cycle of the people, the nefarious people who are recruiting, enticing, harboring, transporting, providing, doing any of that kind of stuff towards human trafficking and targeting these homeless teenagers, please reach out and do that. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
DrinkSuperTea.com.
Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells, everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
So it's no secret that I love everything related to space. We've had astronauts on the show. I've talked about various missions, and as a kid being so fascinated by it, I cannot tell you how fortuitous it is that we are having Wayne Scott Harrell on with us, because he's written a book called Moon Luck that just pulls you in. Warning, you will not be able to put this novel down. So, Wayne, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you very much, Kate, for the opportunity to share with you and your listeners today.
Yeah, I kind of got lost in space, so to speak, when I started reading your book.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's it. That's the goal. That's the goal of the writer, for sure. So let's talk about why you wrote this. What made you decide you were going to put this together?
That's a very good question. It's very complex because I've had quite a few years of experience, but it goes back starting 40 years ago when I was a Coast Guard officer engineer. And working with a fellow engineer that I've now known, as I said, 40 years. And he recently wrote a book, two books, actually, one about his life growing up in Little Italy, and then one that he wrote in a kind of a romance murder mystery in Tuscany. Now, I spend quite a bit of time in Italy. My wife was born there. We have a home there in the Alps. And I just love anything that talks about Italy. But I was a little disappointed. It was a great story, but I was disappointed that he didn't make more of an effort to describe the Tuscan region in his book. And I said, well, you know, if I was going to write a book, I would be a little more descriptive about what it is. And just hit me that I could do a really good job of talking about living on the moon. My experiences in the past, I've worked and traveled around the world, worked in other countries. So I've got to know many people all over the world. And I made this book very much an international story. I involved characters, about 24 characters of people that I've known in different countries that all come together. And it's just something I wanted to do. My experiences in life have been, do something, try something, don't just think about it. So I did it.
I love that answer. Don't just think about it. There's a lesson in that for everybody that's listening to this interview and this show. And let's talk about the story itself because it's so rich. Moonluck is really the story of 30 astronauts living on the moon for extended periods. And wow, how interesting, how tough and exciting and everything wrapped into it that you can think of would that be. So tell us a little bit about the story.
Okay. The presumption is that there are two bases on the moon, one operated by the Chinese and one by an international consortium of NASA, ESA, which is the European Space Agency, SpaceX, and Blue Origin. So the presumption is that they've been on the moon now for 10 years. We're looking at 20 years from now. And life, I talk a little bit about the life living there, growing plants, doing certain experiments. But to make the story also a little more interesting, and because people are what they are sometimes, it's also a murder mystery. So that's what carries it along and brings in opportunity to talk about living on the moon. At the same time, gives it a little intrigue.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because you are a gifted storyteller, and I think we need to tell the audience about this. You and I, when we spent some time off the air, you told me an interesting thing about writing a script for Star Trek The Next Generation. So The Next Generation, I was a big fan of that show, and to get even that close is phenomenal. What happened there? I mean, wow, that really is a brush with fame.
Well, thank you. That goes back again to my interest in science fiction. I was a science fiction reader growing up. And again, something struck me back when Star Trek The Next Generation was coming out, had come out. And I said, you know, I've got this idea. Let me see if I can write a script, which I did. Now, I submitted it. A friend of mine was in the industry. She said that, you know, this is what you got to do. I submitted the script, and they held on to it for about 6 or 7 months. And unfortunately, the series came to an end. It did not go into the next season. And then I got my script back. So it was my closest brush, as you said, to an opportunity to maybe make a little fame and fortune, but or just being exposed. And it was a very unique story. Because they held on to it for so long, I was informed that they were definitely going to use it, but it just didn't come to fruition.
And then, look, you got struck by Moonluck, so I think that was meant to be if we fast forward. And you can get the book on Amazon. Wayne Scott Harrell's talking to us, and Moonluck is the book. What do you hope people take away from reading your novel?
I would like people to think that while astronauts are very unique and special people, then they have, you know, they're selected for skills and capabilities, but they're still people. And that living on the moon is going to pose challenges, but there are also going to be situations where people will just, unfortunately, sometimes be themselves. You're going to find some animosities. You're going to find some new friendships and relationships, and this would be the cornerstone of the book. At the same time, you get to learn about some of the technology that is current. The science, it may be classified as science fiction, but the science in my book is current state of the art. It's what's happening right now in the fields that NASA and ESA are out there exploring now to apply when they go to the moon or go to Mars.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you bring that into that's what you're thinking about as you're reading this novel. And you mentioned your experiences, and another thing that we talked about off the air, and you can see that in the characters in the book, is you talked about, to me, spending time in Qatar, and you've been to 38 countries, and you talked about how people just don't even realize what that's like because we have these misconceptions. And what is it like? What is it like to go there? What is it like to be there and be working there?
Oh, very good question. When I first got selected to work there in Qatar, and for those who don't know, Qatar is a small country about the size of Connecticut that is sticks off of Saudi Arabia there in the Middle East. And I was reluctant to go because, you know, we all hear the things on the news that maybe it's not a great place to go, but they convinced me to try it. I did. Fantastic experience. I loved it. I found the Middle East to be totally unlike my expectations, and I tell people today, whatever you think you know about the Middle East, just forget it. You have to go experience it. I lived in a city called Doha. Only 15% of the population was actually Arab. 85% from all over the world.
Wow.
And these are people I was working with. And this is what gave me the exposure, additional exposure, I should say, is to some wonderful characters, wonderful people that became characters in my book.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to bring back around to, that you had these experiences that then land in Moonluck, and it's, you know, like I said, the 30 astronauts, that's what made me think about that. Hey, last one, if you could go to space, would you do it?
Absolutely. I'm not reluctant to try things. It's been my life. I've been fortuitous in doing things like making wine, to getting into martial arts, became a pilot. And by the way, some of these things are because of my own son who gave me a gift, initiated the idea. And I go out and try things, and I just love it. And I would encourage people, I'd encourage your listeners to just do things. Go out and do it. Don't be afraid.
That's a perfect place to end this. Moonluck is fabulous. It's a great novel. Wayne Scott Harrell, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, David. Pleasure.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.